Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you again, even though I'm not really with you. I'm just sitting in a studio with some of my other friends. Woohoo! Here they are. Later on in the show, you're going to be hearing from Candace as she weighs in on a listener question about friendship as it applies within relationships. And then our culture segment today are the is or are. I don't know. It's an act, but it's two people, Shane and Shane. We caught up with them at the Radical Conference in Louisville and had a great chance getting to know them and just a little bit about them and their stories. And so we're going to be talking with them, and the music this week features them as well. So from their latest project. So, but here we are for the roundtable, and I have some good friends with me here in the studio. Travis Williams is down at the end. Travis.
Hello, everybody.
He is back. He's just establishing himself as a regular here. So,
woohoo!
I know. So
I love you guys. I love everyone. I'd like to thank you. Thank Lisa.
We appreciate you weighing in on the blog as well, Travis, when it comes to your, you know, your comments on shows.
Yes, comment on the blog. I love reading the comments on the blog, and I love commenting back to you on the comments on the blog.
He sure does.
And then as soon as I comment, then nobody comments anymore. So
that's because you just sum it all up with your wise words.
Let's keep the conversation going, people.
Okay, that sounds good. We have Nathan Pyle. Nathan, welcome back.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Very pleased to have you. And a new face to the crowd, Monica Schleicher. Monica, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yay, yay. So Monica and I used to be on the same team here at Focus on the Family until I defected. But it's okay.
We'll
see each other once in a while. So, okay, well, we are going to be talking. Many of you know that we have kind of dealt with, I guess, in a series type fashion, the world of online dating, and have talked about everything here and on the blog, everything from, you know, 10 things not to do. Travis and I handled that on the blog back in the day for men and women, to creating a good profile, to just generally not being crazy, different challenges that people come across. So today we're going to tackle specifically the challenge of taking an online relationship offline, or what I like to say is taking it into real time and real space. So actually making it the real deal instead of just an odd pen pal relationship, as many people get caught kind of in that vortex. So I want to just chat a little bit about the first thing I want to ask you guys, because each one of you were in the online fray and basically made it out successfully. Travis and Monica met their spouses online.
Woo-hoo!
And as did Nathan, but they're not officially spousettes yet.
Not yet.
So not till this summer. So So hopefully, you know, we're gonna make it with him to the finish line on this one. So we got a few months.
Still trending positively, right, Nathan?
103 days
trending
from this taping.
Okay.
It's trending. Aww. It's trending up. Yeah, I think it's still on the
It's trending up. We'll see how he's doing after the show, what he reveals. So but I wanna ask you guys, when you entered the world of online dating, here's the first thing I wanna discuss a little bit. Was that even a thing for you? Like, did you think that it was even possible that you could get caught, I mean, as people do, get caught in just these pen pal relationships? I mean, what was your vision for online dating when you first got into it? Or did you even sit down and think, how am I going to make this relationship real? I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well, for me, it was the second time I'd done online dating. I think the first time I was a lot more open and positive. The second time, honestly, it was Christmas break and no one was at work. And so my friend and I were just like, well, let's go online and, you know, create a profile. So it was that much intentionality went into it. I had been concerned about, you know, just stepping on God's toes, but I had a few people in my life who said, you know, that's not going to happen. You take Tylenol when you have a headache. So it's kind of the same thing. You're just doing life and letting God orchestrate things if they will happen or not.
Yeah, my intentions originally, I didn't think too much about it. I thought, well, surely if she's out there, God will put her in my life using whatever method he deems logical to do. But the first time I went, I think it was more me. The first time I tried it, similar to Monica, the first time I tried it was just more of a, let's see what's going on out here. The intention behind mine wasn't as strong the first time. And as a result, I didn't really have that great of luck. And I think when you get into it, you're not really prepared for how consumer driven it is. I mean, you can narrow someone down based on their eye color if you really want to, hair color, body type, everything that you really want to. You can go through and say, I don't even like that college that they listed. And it's so easy to find yourself in a nitpicking kind of mentality. I had that the first time around. Second time, faith came first. And I think that made a big difference for me.
That's good. Yeah, I seriously used to think of dating somebody online as like the place where the land of misfit toys goes to roam. So I didn't have like this awesome view of dating online. I was super skeptical. I kind of avoided it. It wasn't until I had like, you know, fumbled in some relationships that my brother was like, dude, or it had my heart broken. He was like, you know, you need to check out the online space. And so I was like, that's crazy. And so he said, no, I'm going to pay for you to do it. And then, you know, started in that process. And it was kind of crazy. I won't lie to anybody out there. It can feel weird. But over some time, I learned some strategies through my experience that maybe we'll talk about today to help make the online experience more enjoyable, more fun, and hopefully lead you to meeting the person that God has for you. And again, to Monica's point, God can orchestrate your relationship in so many different ways. And online, for some of our listeners out there, it might be a way that he uses it. It may not be.
Okay. So how long did each of you talk to your significant other online before you said to yourself, I would like to meet this person in person?
We were long distance. He was in New Jersey. I was here in Colorado. So we weren't able to meet probably as quickly as we wanted to. We gave it probably a good month before he flew out here. And when he, it was probably, I think, 2 weeks emailing and then 2 weeks on the phone. And then he bought his ticket and he came like the next week, or it was something along those lines. So,
That's,
you know,
pretty fast for long distance.
Well, I mean, our thought was, you know, I was nearing 30. He's 5 years older. And so we were just like, we're over the games and we were just very intentional. Mm-hmm. So when we used our online time to really just get down to the non-negotiables and it seemed everything would work in theory. So there was nothing left to do but meet and see if it would work out in real life, too. So
I love how, like, I was working with Monica at the time, and I love how, like, Bill would write, and there would be just these, like, essays. He was just, like, quite the writer and loved to go, you know, loved to talk about politics. And
he was really intentional, and which was great because I didn't want to waste my time. I had already had my heart broken once, and so it's like, well, I'm not going to do that again. So when he asked, when do you want to meet? I just said, as soon as possible, you know. And, you know, so we can know if this is going to move forward or not. It was basically, it was very romantic, my answer, but but I think it worked out for the best.
Very good.
Yeah, I think we were, Nikki and I were a week and a half, about 9 days, I'd say, 9 or 10 days from first email to meeting in person.
Okay.
And I think we exchanged emails like 3 times. In my 4th email, I asked for her number, called her the next day, and we went out that following Friday. I didn't want to get stuck in the pen pal world because it's too comfortable in there. I can jump on when I want. I can say what I want and jump out rather than having to face somebody face to face, maybe talk about something I'm not comfortable about, maybe talk about something that is more authentic than it would come across. You can't formulate your thoughts as slowly as you'd like when you're in front of someone. So I wanted to move it quick before I got too comfortable.
Yeah, I think just before I jump into how long it took for Devin and I did the same thing like Nathan was talking about. When I started, I had no concept. I didn't know how this was supposed to work. And then before I knew it, I found myself talking with this one girl exclusively, and we chatted, and all of a sudden, like, there was like this weird expectation of relationship, you know, and I let it go on way too long. And then, you know, almost a month had passed and we're just almost flirty with each other with emails and stuff back and forth and high expectation of relationship. Then, you know, I meet the girl. She was a nice girl, but I could tell it wasn't the right thing. And it was a lot harder to back away from that. So I set up some rules and some boundaries just for me that I was going, you know what, I'm going to use online dating to meet people, but I'm not going to use it to determine how this relationship goes. And so, if I started communicating with somebody, that was an indicator to me that I was at least interested in that person. And so I would push and be intentional for meeting them outside of the online space, face to face, as quickly as possible. So before, when I started online, I had almost the whole geographic area open. I knew that just knowing me, I wasn't going to spend $300 or $400 to go travel to meet somebody. That was just me. You can do whatever you want to do. So I shrunk down my geographical space so I could go see people. And then to make a long story short, when Devin and I met, it was maybe 7 days at the most. Yeah. I said, look, we talked, we communicated, went through all the steps, and then I said, let's get together. And because I knew that she, odds are if you're online, they don't have anybody to go to dinner with. And you're single and you need to eat and they need to eat. Uh-huh. And as long as you're being upfront, have all your checkpoints and all that, then go have a meal, go grab a cup of coffee and set the expectation up front.
Which you have the luxury of doing when you, both of you guys, you're, those women were closer, you know, within an hour or so. So that helps.
And to Travis's point, the first time I was on eHarmony was a few years prior to when I met Bill. And I waited way too long to meet a guy. And it was that kind of thing where by then we had filled in the gaps in our head of what, you know, because you meet someone and you get to know their heart, but then you have to also like them in person. Mm-hmm. And we can't, that's important too. Mm-hmm. So when we met in person, it was just like, oh no. and but then it was disappointing and it was difficult because we had let that go longer than we should have. So I would also encourage as much as possible, just meet when you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you guys say, you know, moving ahead then, you decide that you're going to meet. What were some of your expectations going into that first meeting? And then what were your first impressions? Did they meet up to the expectations?
Yeah, I'd say expectations were, I wouldn't say they were high. I try not to get too high because you can't get too low if you're proven wrong. So I just try to ride to kind of a middle ground area. And I didn't want to get, because when they're online, you see their profile. Everything about them is interesting. Oh, you have a cat. Oh, you have siblings. You grew up in America.
You like Coke and flip-flops. Yeah. Really?
You live in the suburbs. Too. You live in the suburbs. Oh, you like coffee. You like to have fun. Well, movies. So you have to separate that because at some point you're going to say it's going to go from being interesting that they have a cat to being annoying that they have a cat if you continue on the relationship. But that's just an example. I love cats.
or musical styles, cats. As we were talking on the front end of the show.
Yeah, or musical styles. Mm-hmm. It's everything musical interesting mm-hmm. on the forefront. So I went into it thinking, all right, kind of clean slate would be kind of a misnomer, but like, we're starting from scratch on the personal front. Mm-hmm. I know about your background, but I don't want to use any of that to create these expectations that I may be disappointed in, because that's not really fair to them, and I wouldn't want to be judged that way myself either. Mm-hmm. So my expectations were high, and my first impressions were really good as a result, I think, because there had been times where expectations were high. Someone had built them up, a blind date, something like that, family member, even another online date, and it just fizzled within the first literally 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, this is the only time we'll ever meet, and I'm just glad this was a small cup of coffee and not a steak dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For us, because it was long distance, you know, it was, we had to spend more time getting to know each other, because, I mean, obviously it wasn't worth them flying across the country to meet me on, you know, 2 phone calls. So it was hard for me to manage my feelings and really be careful about not oversharing or not, you know, building illusions in my mind and building up dreams. So I tried to manage that, and I think he did too. But, you know, we knew in theory it would work because we had gone through our non-negotiables. And I think, and I was talking to him last night too, and we both had this as like our advice to give, which would be, it's okay for it to be a little bit awkward in the beginning, because by this point we had talked so much and there was definite interest there. And then you meet each other and it's like, and then you just realize how much more you still need to know about this other person because you haven't seen each other in person. Like you don't know mannerisms or gestures or anything. Mm-hmm. So for us, I would say that first day was a little awkward. I was a little standoffish. Like, don't get too close to me. I was a little nervous. And it wasn't until the second day that it really clicked. So I would say don't get discouraged if your first encounter is just a little strained. Mm-hmm. You know, you can work through that. And I would just say give it a little time, because by the second day, everything was like when it clicked and it was wonderful. So
yeah. I would say too that, you know, in my experience, one guy who flew out here, again, it was a long distance thing, and we had talked for probably 3 months prior to him coming out. So by the time he stepped off the plane, I felt like I knew him, and that ended up backfiring on me because I basically had to break up with a guy that I felt, I mean, for very fundamental reasons, he was not a good match. That just somehow did not serve us. Apparently I can't talk on the phone and find out things about people. I don't know. But so that was a concern. And so I would say that's a good point that you have, Monica, and just figuring out, you know, you really do have to start at square one and realize there are some things that I need to match with who I know about you from online, from on the phone to in reality. I think that's good.
Yeah, that is a good point because culture builds it up to be this romantic fireworks immediately because everything clicked online. And it's okay to have that strain, that awkwardness. I mean, think about friends you haven't seen in a long time that you grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you moved away and you go back to see them. It is a little awkward. You're still kind of feeling them out until you get comfortable around with them again. And I don't think it's any different in a relationship like that.
Yeah. And that's why I do encourage people, as soon as they possibly can meet, to try to meet mm-hmm. because why prolong that awkwardness? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have the and build things up over time, because at the end of the day, being online is really, it's a tool. It's not mm-hmm. your relationship. Mm-hmm. If you ever do move past getting from online to real life, it's going to be the real life that propels you. Right now, online is so small. I almost hate when people say that we met online because it seems so, mm-hmm. so in the rear view mirror mm-hmm. for us. It was a tool. I met my wife through online, but I can tell you this, I never think about that. Mm-hmm. I just encourage people when they can. And guys, if there are guys listening, that's where you have to be intentional and lead things and be upfront with gals mm-hmm. on this because it can be an awkward, it can be a straining, it can be a weird process. But if you're just saying, look, I don't know where this is going to go, just because we meet does not mean we're going to get married. Because mm-hmm. I know some women, there's all these weird expectations. You have to set expectations very clearly online. If you're meeting for dinner, say, look, this is just for dinner. I just want to get to know you outside of the online space. If we never talk again, I know that's going to be hard, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's very, you know, because I've had friends who, you know, who either don't, you know, you could tell when you like a guy or don't like him or a girl, you know, because you are hesitant to go. Like, I've had friends who have said, well, you know, he says he wants to talk on the phone or he says he wants to meet and I just don't know. And I'm like, well, then you need to decide and mm-hmm. stop, because just emailing him for another month is not going to help you at all. You know, and it's almost like, you know, don't prolong the agony. And at the same time, I had a friend who, you know, bless her heart, she knew a guy up in Denver and she was here in the spring. So we're talking an hour away. And this guy was constantly like, yeah, I really want to come down there, but I need to get new tires on my car. And so when I do that, then I'll do, or I need to do this. And so I was like, yeah, he is done. You just need to be done. I mean, because you don't put up with the players and with the people that really aren't in it to win it, as right. I say, because it's not going to be ultimately helpful to you, I mm-hmm. think. Yeah. So that's good.
I think a lot of people might not be excited about my strategy on this, but I went out with 10 gals before I met my wife and had a cup of coffee or dinner mm-hmm. with them. But
you did it fast, which was good.
I was very intentional. And mm-hmm. really, truthfully, after doing that, I was worn out. I was like, this is silly. Mm-hmm. God, am I forcing this? Or is your hand really on that? And it was about the time that I gave up on online dating is when Devin popped into my view. Mm-hmm. And here's hope for some people. Hopefully it's not like the way that it should be. But when Devin, my wife, popped up onto the screen, I was like, wow, she seems like trouble. I could see myself like really digging her. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm quitting online. And so I quit for a month. So Devin stayed in my box for a month before I popped in. And all the time she was wrestling, should I close this guy out? Should I not? And I think we've talked on the show before, it was my mother-in-law that encouraged Devin to keep me around, and I'm glad she did.
You're just lucky she lasted a month. That's all I can say. She could have been taken off the market for sure.
Exactly. So.
Plus he had to get new tires on his
right.
car.
Yeah, exactly.
New tires and new knee socks to wear to the date. So, yeah. You know, that's good. Thanks, you guys, so much for weighing in on this. Good thoughts. And, of course, we'll continue the conversation on the blog. Travis will be there for sure.
I'll be there,
I want all of you guys, all three of you, to jump on the blog and give just some quick, even some practical advice to people, just things about that first meeting, what you would do, what you would do differently, stuff like that. So we'll continue the conversation. Thanks so much, all of you.
Thank you.